The Feast of Christ the King. The epistle is taken from the first book of Colossians. Brethren, we give thanks to God the Father who has made us worthy to share the lot of the saints in light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For in him were created all things in the heavens and on the earth, and things visible and things invisible, whether thrones or dominations or principalities or powers. All things have been created through and unto him, and he is before all creatures, and in him all things hold together. Again, he is the head of the body, the church, he who is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, that in all things he may have first place. For it has pleased God the Father that in him all fullness should dwell, and that through him he should reconcile all things to himself, whether on earth or in the heavens, making peace through the blood of his cross in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the gospel. At that time, Pilate said to Jesus, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Dost thou say this of thyself, or has others told thee of me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thy own people and the chief priests have delivered thee to me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my followers would certainly have fought that I might not be delivered to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Thou art then a king?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest it, I am a king. This is why I was born and why I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Today is the Feast of Christ the King. This is a late feast in the calendar. It was only added about 100 years ago. Pope Pius XI, in his encyclical Quas Primas, asked that this feast be established on the last Sunday of October. Now, in the new order of the Mass, this feast occurs at the end of the liturgical year in November. So this is one of the feasts that don't match up between the two. Nevertheless, this feast, he felt, needed to be put in the calendar because at the time the world was dealing with the after effects of World War I. There was a strong secularist movement in the world at the time. If you recall, the League of Nations was being proposed by Woodrow Wilson, the President of the United States. We had a number of Catholic nations that were then suppressed at the end of World War I. And so the world was moving towards a secularist outlook. The nations were becoming more secular. And so Pope Pius XI chose to institute this feast to remind people that Christ is king. He says that if Christ is not king, then there will be no peace in the world. So on a higher level, the nations, you know, the leaders and the scholars, they all wanted to establish a peace in the world without reference to Christ, without reference to God. And this is the Pope's way of saying, this is folly. It's not going to happen. But it's also important to recognize that Christ is to be king not only recognized by nations, but also within each individual. There's no peace in our hearts unless Christ is king there also. We also have to remember this and not just think this is something political. Now, we want to make sure that we don't think that the Pope or in the Church is teaching that the nations and national government should be what we call a theocracy, that is ruled by theologians or the priests or the Pope or the bishops. This is not the case. Trust me. We don't want this. From past history, bishops and don't usually make good leaders, just from past history. This is not a knock against anyone. Why? Because their goal is something different, a little bit different. Nevertheless, what the Holy Father is saying is that the country, its government, should recognize the kingship of Christ. And when it does that, then its laws should reflect that kingship. Now, this kingship is two ways, and we see it in the epistle. First, in terms of the natural world, God created the world and everything in it, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominations, principalities, or powers. Those are classes of angels, and that would be both good angels and bad angels. Everything. God holds everything into existence. There is nothing that happens in the world, in the universe, visible or invisible, that either is not explicitly willed by Christ or permitted by Him. So when the devils tempt us, God permits it because He can pull a greater good out of it, our sanctification. We have to remember this. He is King of everything. Everything, nothing happens. It says in Matthew that a sparrow doesn't fall from the sky without God's knowing it. That even the hairs on the top of our head are numbered. He knows exactly how many. This is His kingship on a natural level. And so we have something called the natural law. That is, just through unaided reason, without revelation, without the Bible, people can understand certain things about the way God created the world. And so what theologians will say, one of these things is marriage. Marriage, one man, one woman for life. And so we know that even in past ages, countries or cultures that were not Christian, that they understood this. Now some didn't. They refused to recognize that. But this is something natural. The natural law. And so, Christ is King in that regard. In His creation. And that, in that sense, everyone should recognize that ordering of His creation. Now unfortunately, our nation, in the Western nations, are not respecting this. As we know, the recent Supreme Court decisions about marriage, that this is not being respected here today. Now, there's another level, and that is in terms of supernatural revelation. God communicated to mankind through the scriptures, through the prophets, through the... And He even sent His own Son, our Lord Christ, to come and to reveal things, to then take, we have the natural revelation through His creation, and then there's another revelation which He speaks directly to us in Himself and reported to us through the apostles in the Bible. Now there are things in which in there that he reteaches what is known in through the natural law. So there are teachings on marriage in the scripture that are pretty clear. But then there's other things also beyond that. And the Pope says that governments and laws need to respect that also, that revelation. And that this revelation should be guiding our culture, our laws, and our governance. Now, you know, we talk about everyone has these rights. Every little group has these rights. I have my right. You know, these people have the right. I have the right to do this. I have the right to do that. You know, people forget about, what about God's rights? God has a right to be respected. That His governance should be recognized. And that His laws should be obeyed. When we reflect on that, we really think just how far our society has fallen. You know, we have an election here in 8 days, and every year in the old Mass, in the extraordinary form, this feast falls right before the election. It's guaranteed to fall right before the election. And let's really reflect on this. Which political party recognizes this fact? That God is the supreme ruler and the governor, that Christ is King, both in creation and holds everything in existence, and also King in the flesh, that He came. Is there any candidate who holds to that? No. No. 50 years ago or 70 years ago, there would have been. Nowadays, as far as I know, no candidate holds to that. Probably after Mass, someone will come up to me and say, and point out some obscure candidate that's not very well known that does that. Okay. But the exception proves the rule. Let us not fool ourselves. Our nation and our culture has fallen far, far, far from God. And the candidates that we have, you know, it's said that a culture, a nation, receives the leaders it deserves. Our culture and our nation has fallen far from God. And although God is the absolute ruler of everything, He does permit things to happen. He permits them for our sanctification. The fact that we have these candidates that I think are so far from God is maybe a little bit of a punishment for us and for our sanctification. You know, when we think about, I think especially the presidential candidates, we have here the closing of the gospel. Our Lord says, "This is why I was born and why I come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And I think about the two people, the two main candidates for president, Hillary and Trump, and just think, do they really hear his voice, the two of them? It's a difficult situation we're in. What can we do? You know, hopefully, you know, actually the church teaches that it is a duty for everyone to vote. If you can vote, you should vote. But then, how do we determine, since the candidates and the parties have fallen so far from Christ, so far from God, so far from what the church teaches, who are we to choose? You know, all the issues, you know, immigration and jobs, you know, building infrastructure and the economy, when we really reflect on them, those are secondary to the issue of life. Pope Benedict mentions this, that those issues have no meaning without life. As a result, life issues take priority over immigration or over the economy and these other issues. I may like this candidate's idea of the economy, but the fact is, if that candidate is anti-life, then I have to really think and not choose that candidate. And I'm not saying a particular party, one or the other. There are good candidates in both parties, and there are bad candidates in both parties. It's important for us to look at this. You know, recently I was having a discussion with someone about this issue, about this candidate or that candidate, and they mentioned something very prudent. They said, well, if you look on Planned Parenthood's website, if a candidate has full approval of Planned Parenthood, that's probably not a good sign. And that's very wise and prudent information. You know, there's many voter guides out there. But in one sense, we can look at that and say, if this person is getting full approval of Planned Parenthood, maybe I should vote for the other person. Why? Because life issues are fundamental. Pope Benedict teaches this. So what do I mean when I say life issues? Mainly the right to life, the abortion issue, and euthanasia. These are fundamental to the human person. Before anything else, jobs, health care, or these other issues. It is terrible, the situation we are in. Like I said, when we really reflect on it, our nation and our culture has fallen a long way. A friend of mine, a priest friend of mine, was recently mentioning. He said, you know, in the early church, the Romans, they had the Roman religion, the pagan religion, and they would bring the Christians in and they would try to force them to burn incense before the idol in order to violate their conscience of worshiping God to worship a false idol. And we actually have the court proceedings from these trials. We still have them. The Romans were very meticulous on keeping records. And sometimes the prosecutor would be exasperated. He says, just burn the incense and we'll let you go. Just do it. It's not a big deal. And those good Christians would say no. And the result was they would be put to death. Now, like I said, a priest friend of mine, I was talking with him, and he said, you know, we have a very similar thing today now, with our culture trying to force us to violate our conscience. We've all heard the stories of the bakers who are run out of business because they won't bake a cake for a false marriage. Or photographer who won't take the photos for a false marriage. The Little Sisters of the Poor, the religious order founded by St. Teresa of Calcutta, are suing the President of the United States because he's trying to force them to violate their conscience in order to supply contraceptives to their people who work for them. Why? Because the President says they do not fall under the category of religious. Therefore, they don't get the religious exemption. This is why this is happening. If the President chose, he could end it in a minute and just say, well, we'll use a category that the IRS uses for religious. They would fall under it and they would be exempt. But he refuses to do it. These are examples. And it was interesting the way I said, my friend, priest friend, mentioned it. He said, this is just a modern example of trying to force people to burn incense to the idol, to violate the conscience. Let us not be fools. Our nation has fallen far from the ideal. We're facing a terrible decision in the election. My advice is to look at the candidates. The fundamental point should be life issues. Outside of the election, what should we do? We should pray for God's mercy upon ourselves and our nation. We get the leaders we deserve as a nation. We need to pray for better leaders. We need to pray for a change in our culture. But we also want to remember that Christ, we want Christ to be recognized as King in our nation and culture, but also it is just as important that He rules in our heart. And we need to ask for the grace to see where I do not put Him first. And there are many things in the spiritual life. There is no peace. There will be no peace in the world, either in my heart, if Christ doesn't rule as King, or between the nations, if Christ does not rule as King. He says, My kingdom is not of this world. That's true. The next world, it will be perfect. His kingship will be perfect. But it is in this world. It starts now. And we need to fight for that kingship through our prayers, through our sacrifices, and through our actions. So today on the Feast of Christ the King, let us then implore Him for mercy upon our nation, but also for mercy upon each one of us, that He would show us where He does not rule in my heart. For peace will not begin, peace will not be in my heart till He rules as King. And we ask Him for His mercy upon our nation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.